This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And this is our weekly episode. We're going to talk about the history of mind control and brainwashing in the wake of a startling discovery in a South Korean laboratory just a couple weeks ago.
Exciting. All right.
Yeah, very cool.
And, nice. If you're
joining us for the first time, we picked up a lot of new listeners from various corners of the internet, the dark web, message boards, TikTok, other social media platforms. Welcome to all of our new listeners. We also have a Patreon episode. You can join us for $5. That's going to be changing soon.
Yeah.
And if you want to be in on the founders level, get in now because we have our original G's.
Yeah, our OGs. And I think we currently have on our Patreon, we have 70 episodes. We have, you know, over 140 back episodes of this pod on there as well. Again, that'll be changing. We're going to change some stuff up, so get in now while you can, and you have access to all that before it changes up.
And lots of stuff in the works. We're going to be changing. We usually record at the Smith Studios.
Yep.
And but our good friends over at Crank Arm Brewery would like us to come over and record at their malt room, and that's we may try that. We're going to be in negotiations to perform some live podcast at some upcoming conventions.
Yeah, a little cosplay, some cons coming up that we might be at. So that'll be exciting.
We're excited about that. We still have merchandise for sale, and you can check us out on all social media platforms. We're trying to put out more content these days.
Yeah.
It's not content. It's content that's a summation of what we do here. It lacks.
Yeah, good summaries. There's no like riffing, but it gives you the Justin's are doing a great job of putting stuff out that kind of gives you a concise
the facts.
Yeah, the facts about a certain conspiracy, and then you come to us for the riffs.
Do you know when you watch? I watched all of Game of Thrones this way.
I'm sorry.
I know I didn't.
Oh no, you watched it with just snippets.
No, there was a guy that summarized each season in
Cliff
each
notes.
It took it like 1 minute for each season.
Thank
I watched
God,
all
dude.
Of Game of Thrones in like
that's
8 minutes.
The way to do it. I gotta do that.
It was great. And he's like a fast talker, so it was like then there's a dragon and then there's a zombie and the zombie hits the dragon hits the zombie and then everybody, and you're like, whoa, who
perfect.
That's his sister crazy.
And it's probably more entertaining than the show.
It was I couldn't get on the show. I loved the sum.
Perfect.
So I hope you like both.
Yeah, Justin's been doing a great job, so check him out there, and thank you for joining us here. Yeah,
we're excited. I will say I'm going to order a new Conspiracy Beer Me hooded sweatshirt.
Okay.
I'm wearing my Conspiracy Beer Me hooded sweatshirt. I think I'm going to go with a brighter blue this time.
Oh, exciting.
Navy goes with everything.
Is that navy?
What do you think it was, black?
I thought it was black. I'm colorblind.
When you see navy.
You have a black hat on. I see it.
Yeah, when you see navy next to black, you realize I'm a racist.
Oh, boy. And I know color doesn't come across on the radio, but believe me, it's navy.
It's a dark, very dark navy. I think I am. I think the merchandise looks really good right now.
Yeah.
And we're a lot of good stuff.
I'm back to creating episode art, so that'll be going on some clothes and some merch. So check that out. All on conspiracybeerme.com. You can get there from there.
So are we ready to pivot to our...
Let's pivot.
Okay, so this is a great topic today. And what spurred us... And we have touched on the subject of mind control and brainwashing in several different past episodes. And we'll retouch on some of those prior subjects like the CIA, MKUltra, and other stuff. But I thought it would be interesting to just sort of set in context how brainwashing and mind control sort of became a part of the American psyche.
Okay.
It wasn't always that way. And I was really trying to get to the bottom of this because as I read articles about the history of brainwashing, I was sort of like, well, I don't know. Is that really a new thing? Because it came into the American culture after the Korean War.
Okay.
Because particularly the New York Times, but several media outlets wrote articles about American soldiers who returned home post-Korean War, and their minds had been warped by Russian agents.
Oh.
They were confessing to crimes that they did not commit.
Oh.
They were, in some cases, didn't know who they were or their name or their backstories. They had major memory loss. They, for all intents and purposes, seemed like they had been deprogrammed.
Right.
Sort of like this blank slate.
And this would be outside of traditional PTSD or shell shock.
It was. So much so that this idea, the battle for men's minds, mm-hmm. was the new frontier of war.
Right, and that's when Maxim magazine came about and won.
I forgot.
I know.
Push, was it, when was like the man show?
That would probably be like late 90s, early 2000s, right?
You could not do the man show in 2021.
No way.
How does he get a pass for the
man show?
I don't
know how Adam Carolla skirts by. I don't get
it. Or not just Adam, but Jimmy Kimmel.
Kimmel, I forgot. Yeah, I have no idea.
How does he get a pass for that?
I have no idea.
I'm not saying he should be taken down for that, but you never hear people giving a takedown on the for those of you who don't know, the Man Show was an American late-night television show that appeared on a cable channel like mm-hmm. Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And it was like the last very crass, objectively offensive
yeah.
show directed completely at men.
Every episode ended with women in bikinis jumping on trampolines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was it. It was really crude. Anyway.
You could not do that
show. It was great.
Today,
they had that
sure.
kind of chubby, chunky kid they would make sell Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, yeah.
He
was fun. He looked like the kid from Up.
Yeah. And then he would just kind of make fun of people like, no cookies for you, fatto.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, like that.
Yeah.
It was
the end of an era for sure, which is probably best. But also, I don't know how they haven't gotten canceled over that.
So to get back to our tortured yeah. veteran soldier. Sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry. That's what we do here.
I liked the man show. as the story emerged, these guys were tortured by Russian agents who were considered the masters of mind control, and the United States felt like they were helplessly behind in terms okay. of the methodology to do such a thing. I should add that as I wrestled through this, I had to really separate in my mind what I would consider propaganda, which has been around for as long as I think humans
yeah.
have existed.
Probably, yeah.
Versus what they were talking about, which is something different in terms of mind control and brainwashing.
Right. It's like making that propaganda stick without you being able to deal with it, right? Like,
I think propaganda is designed to shape the minds and perception of a large group of people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whereas what we're talking about, it's the battle for an individual.
Oh, okay. Mind. Yeah, so the many versus the one.
Correct. Okay. And also, whereas propaganda, I think, is driven towards changing ideas and beliefs
yeah.
held by groups, what we're talking about with brainwashing and mind control is controlling the emotions and actions of people.
Okay.
Which mm-hmm. I know that belief on a right. large scale can then control actions, but it's just we're talking about it in a more concrete, granular,
yeah.
specific way than we are talking about like, well, yeah, Germany were masters of propaganda.
Right, right.
Also, Nazis did lots of mind control experiments.
It's like the Manchurian candidate versus Facebook.
Very, very correct. And in fact, it's funny you mentioned that because this idea of controlling men's minds was so much of a cultural phenomena in the 50s, early 60s. It did spawn a sort of wave of pop culture movies and television shows where mind control, like the Manchurian candidate, and there were newspaper articles with these kind of like sensational headlines like new evils seen in brainwashing.
Oh.
Brainwashing versus psychiatry.
And I like that they're like new evils as opposed to the old fun stuff you do with your friends and make them do random ass shit in public.
Look, I grew up before cell phones.
Yeah, me too.
You had a slumber party. You were doing some really awful things to your butt.
Putting fingers in water and making them piss the bed. And then you're like, why did I do this in my house?
No, you were trying to do like hypnosis and lift people off the ground.
I told you I used to do that, right?
The light as a feather, stiff as
a board?
No,
I used to hypnotize people in high school.
Right.
So much so that I was called, parents called my parents to tell me to stop.
What would you have them do once you hypnotized?
All sorts of stuff. So I would do it, I would oftentimes do it in the band storage room where we'd store all the instruments. I'd do it there and it would just do dumb stuff like make them like...
I stuck a condom in a girl's flute mouthpiece once. That was about the worst I did.
Yeah, that was when you were hypnotized?
should have said that.
Yeah, you should have said that. No,
Shane Smith hypnotized me. Who is he? I'm going to meet him in the future.
Exactly. No, one time I was hypnotized people. This is all band trips, of course. I was on a band trip. I was trying to hypnotize this guy. It was not working. And I've mentioned this on the pod before. Tried for like a half hour and it wasn't working. But there was a guy in the room who was like, considered the redneck of all rednecks. Super nice guy, but he was like, he rode bulls. He was like, just a farmer.
Bulls.
Bull riding guy. Like he was
not a bull riding.
No, bull. Okay. Like he rode bulls. He was a PBR type of like. Was it Professional Bull Rider Association? Like,
yeah, oh, that PBR.
Yeah. You know, so he was like, he was a guy who you would never consider someone who would get hypnotized. Because you're like, this is just a man of the earth that, like, you know, he's a good farm guy.
Well, those people get hypnotized pretty quickly, don't they?
What's that?
Who's hardest to hypnotize?
The people that don't think they can be hypnotized.
Oh,
because
you,
it doesn't
you resist,
work.
Because you resist.
But people like that, he wasn't wanting to get hypnotized. He was just watching.
But he was a guy that would... Like, I got nothing against, for or against, it's
right.
Neutral.
And he got hypnotized when I was trying to hypnotize my friend. And he was, like, out. We were having him just, like, be dumb. He was sitting on the bed, and I was like, pretend you're riding a bull. And he started bouncing up and down, did a backflip on the bed, and landed on his neck on the floor.
And did he die?
No, he's fine. But that
fine.
Was...
Fine. Yeah. Shane used power quotes.
Yeah,
so you guys,
but that was shortly after that. My parents got a phone call and was like, you know what? Don't let your kid hypnotize people anymore because people are going to get hurt.
And your parents were like, we will not let him hypnotize people.
Exactly.
So this is when brainwashing came into American culture. The CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, which was a newly formed agency at this time, the CIA was first created, I think, in 1947. They were tasked with this idea, like, we are hopelessly behind in how to basically mind torture people.
Right,
so
yeah, we got to catch up.
What is a much ballyhooed, now exposed experiment was MK Ultra, which was the CIA's directed operative to use a variety of behavioral and mind modification techniques to attempt to sort of crack the human brain and figure out how to do that. And we'll talk a little bit later about sort of how the brain works, and it might make sense then.
Oh, okay.
Let's deal with it. I mean, the human brain, and we knew this by 1950, we knew that the human brain had these things called neurons, mm-hmm. that the neurons had these neural transmitters, and they used a combination of electricity and chemicals to mm-hmm. transmit impulses that then radiated through our neurological system, mm-hmm. down through our spinal cord, and sort of controlled the network of nerves and nerve endings that do everything that human beings need to do.
Yeah.
So most of the MK Ultra's techniques were designed with very primitive understandings of how to alter the brain's chemistry and electricity.
Right. Okay.
Nowadays, I think we have mostly really good drugs to do all of these things.
Right.
1950s, I think we had bad drugs.
Yeah. And I think back then, it's like when you're new to a certain area of science, you don't even know where to begin. So it's like, oh, it's weird. I put this metal rod in his brain and he laughs really hard. Huh, what causes that? But it's weird. It just keeps happening. But you don't know why. You don't know the reason.
That's such a good observation. Because here's what it's reminiscent of to me is the guy in your office who's a runner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's the fastest runner in the office, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's considered the guy that runs marathon engineering.
Right.
Whatever he does, people in the office who are getting into running think that what he does is correct.
Right.
He's like, oh, I run 2 runs barefoot every week. You should do it. That guy might be a complete crackpot and be a completely shitty runner in the real world. But because it's your reference point of an expert, you're just like, oh, yeah, my buddy John is a great runner.
He just constantly
And then I
runs.
Meet John, I'm like, John's not a good runner. No. He's just the best runner you know.
Yeah, he just has a past and can't stop running that he doesn't want to get away from.
Yeah.
It doesn't make him a good runner. It's just he's just trying to get away from his past.
So it these scientists were like, you know, I'm an expert in brain manipulation. And like, I know how to make people do what I want by shoving a metal rod down their spinal cord and rendering them paralyzed. And then they'll do whatever you want because they're dead.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, of course they will.
That's what a lot of this stuff was when you're dealing with a new field.
Right. It's like electroshock therapy. They're like, oh, he doesn't act violently anymore. It's like, yeah, because you essentially took the part of his brain away that made him have feeling. Good for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're going to talk about exactly that thing here in a minute with the Montreal experiments. But just so that the general gist of MKUltra was that they used electroshock, hypnosis, polygraphs, radiation, variety of toxins, chemicals, a lot of LSD.
And essentially, one of the people, they
originally experimented on prisoners.
Oh, okay.
Because what they found is that people incarcerated will do just about anything in order to get more privileges. Like, if you participate in these experiments, we'll give you, extra hours of recreation time or
right.
a little better food or things. So
you make these license plates, we'll give you a little bit more for the canteen.
Exactly. One of these guys described, just the hallucinations, that the rooms would change shape, the paranoia, living nightmares and even blood coming out of the walls, guys turning to skeletons. It was a horrific LSD trip for a lot of these guys. Now, the most famous part of the MKUltra, and I think one of the very first big jumps in brainwashing and mind control technology, were run by Donald Ewan Cameron. And he was the pioneer of what's called psychic driving, which is, if you don't know, psychic driving is the technical term for playing something on loop for hours into someone's auditory system.
Oh, okay.
So every time, or just an image that's just on repeat, a loop or a looping sound in your ear.
That's like when TikTok plays that one video. It's like, oh no. Fucking hate that shit.
Yeah, that's a terrible.
I hate that.
Yeah, I've fallen asleep to that.
Yeah, I know, right? You're brainwashed.
Yeah. So he developed a program known as the Montreal Experiments, which were originally designed for people with neurological diseases like Alzheimer's, depression, these sorts of things. In retrospect, people look back and say these were vulnerable people with lots of mental health issues that CIA went to Canada to avoid U.S. jurisdiction, set up these experiments to figure out how we could break people's mind down, and they empowered this Dr. Cameron to do exactly that. And, and he designed a process that had 4 steps.
Okay.
Step one was drug-induced sleep. Okay. They went into a sleep room. The one thing I find very amusing about this is that this stage lasted from 3 to 86 days.
Holy shit.
Which is a huge range.
That's a coma.
That's exactly, yeah.
That's not sleep.
Yeah, that's not, yeah.
Oh, I feel so rested.
Often a lot of LSD was injected in this phase. I mean, I think the time you spend in the sleep room probably depends on like my wife, they'd be like, we need to pull her out. It's been 94 days. She still wants to just stay in the sleep room.
She's like,
some people just want to sleep more. Yeah. Some people after 3 days are like, I'm done. Get me out of here. What's the next phase? I beat this.
I like sleep because there's a poor man's suicide.
Oh, you kill yourself every night.
Yeah, it's nice.
And you find hope in your dreams and you wake back up and just to repeat the process.
Yeah, it's great.
That's the whole cycle of reincarnation.
Yeah, basically.
Every night I kill myself, wake up the next morning thinking I can achieve something better, and then fail miserably that day.
Yep, and then just to forget it, you close your eyes.
I mean, it's not a bad life. That's
it's
really
not too bad. I mean, no. I mean, think about it. Anytime you're really depressed, what do you want to do? You want to sleep. Just forget your problems.
Okay, well, phase two. So you sleep for 3 to 86 days. It just doesn't sound, I mean, I haven't done a science experiment since... But I feel like my 12th grade science teacher would have been like, that's a highly variable rate.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have liked it if everybody slept for the same amount of time.
That would help. You need a control group, and you need a set right. standard.
Well, the next phase of the process was electroshock.
Okay.
By the way, I think I'll volunteer as tribute for this.
I have an electroshock thing here.
I think we should do a Montreal experiment on one of us.
Okay. So, I actually do have an electroshock therapy okay. machine.
And understand, there are some more parts of this that are okay. probably a little more scary, but the electroshock treatment is 2 to 3 daily sessions.
Okay.
2 to 3. A session is 6 150-volt shocks that last 1 second.
Okay.
Kind of pits of despair, remember?
Sure.
The pits of despair.
From Princess Bride. Yeah, yeah. It's like just...
Yep.
Like 6 150-volt mm-hmm. shocks. Yep. I don't know where that was administered. I'm assuming to the nipples or the balls, somewhere really
fun. I'd say straight to the butt.
The butt?
Just put a electrode. I call them trodes.
Probably
put a trode right up in your butt.
Temples. Doesn't it usually go to the temple?
Yeah, that's probably right. I'm just, you know, I just figure it.
Does it matter? We should research it before we do it.
Well, I do know that the brain, they just came out with a treatment for depression. I think Stanford's got a new thing that shoots electromagnetic pulses into your brain,
yeah.
into your frontal cortex, and like is better than drugs for depression. So I would say the brain is probably where they're going to do it.
I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
How much is 150? What is that? What's the pain threshold of 150?
I don't know. Outlet's 240.
I've shocked myself
right.
for an outlet.
Yeah. Did you get happier?
No.
Yeah, so you need to do it again.
It hurt like shit. Yeah. It reminds me of this great moment from my psychology 101 class in college. Like almost every college student in the world, I took your everybody had to take a base level psychology. And we got to the section on behavioral modification, mm-hmm. which is the Pavlovian mm-hmm. bit of science, which says we can train people through a variety of methods to, you know, modify their behavior based on pain.
Yeah.
And she's like anybody remember this? And she holds this blanket up and this very Southern North Carolinian redneck from back deep in the halls was like, man, that's a wee blanket. I had one of those growing up.
A wee blanket.
And everybody was like,
what are you
what?
Talking about?
He's like, yeah, I wet the bed, so they put that under my sheets. Every time
oh,
I
wow.
peed, it shocked me.
Holy cow.
And she was like, you're exactly right. I've never met anybody that remembers it because it kind of went out of
shit. Yeah,
but that
it killed a bunch of kids.
That's how they used to train kids not to wet the bed.
Man, it's like a shock collar for your dog in the front yard.
It is. And every if you peed, wow. when it got wet, it shocked you.
Holy cow.
But I don't think that guy really realized how
tortured he was.
Yeah, I think yeah. he, like the stress, the traumatic stress just yeah. came out.
Yeah, now I only pee in somebody else's bed.
Yeah, now I pee in my wife's face.
Yeah, it's a different thing. She doesn't shock me at all. Shocks her sometimes.
So they do 2 to 3 daily sessions, 6 1-second, 150-volt shocks,
okay.
30 to 40 days.
Okay.
So again, 3 to 86 days. Mm-hmm. If we're going to replicate this,
yeah, oh,
we're going to do...
And I know you thought I was joking when I have an electroshock thing. My friends, for my wedding, instead of buying me something off the registry, gave me medical equipment from NC State that they bought, and it's a legit...
Is it legit?
It's a shocking electroshock therapy
device.
You said
you wanted a toaster, Shane.
I know, right?
Like,
yeah,
nah,
yeah.
I didn't want to toast
yeah.
prisoners of war.
Right.
I wanted to toast... Yeah. Okay, well, look...
I've never plugged it in. I'm afraid.
One more item we don't have to buy.
I know, right?
Okay. The third stage, which involved a combination, this is called the sensory deprivation stage. Mm-hmm. Patients had their ears, eyes, and skin covered. So you would be blindfolded, ears would be stuffed so you mm-hmm. could not hear. And then with some patients, they would cover their skin so you couldn't really
Sounds
feel.
Horrible.
Right. And then they would administer lots and lots of LSD in this state. And then they would also deprive you of food, water, and even oxygen. So they could,
Jesus Christ.
So as you're just sort of taking away what we normally, that's how we sort of feel and sense the
right.
world. It leaves you in a state where you're just in your head, where you're also pumping you full of LSD.
So they put them in one of those sexual like vacuum seal things.
It's right.
Yeah.
It's a good way of putting it, like in a vacuum-packed bag with just the slightest amount of oxygen to keep you alive.
Yeah, little gimp.
Can't see, can't hear.
Gimp zip.
I mean, I guess that you feel dead.
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know. Well, here's what I know, and we've talked about this before. It's like, I think you can go. I think it's a very short amount of time without sensory input that you can enter what they call prisoner's cinema, which is prisoners that are put in solitary confinement with no light, no sound, no nothing, will start hallucinating to the point where they feel like they're watching a movie. And it's called prisoner cinema. It's really an interesting effect. So I would assume very shortly, especially with LSD, very shortly after you're put in
prisoner cinema,
you're just seeing the world. You're watching a movie.
But have you ever experienced, like, I've had some night terrors where I was paralyzed and couldn't.
Oh yeah, I've had that.
Feel or talk. I mean, I tried to scream and couldn't scream.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Like, I don't know if your conscience is like, I can't see or hear anything. Am I dead? Like, no, I'm just supposed to watch this movie.
I know.
Just keep watching the movie. Don't think. It's like that. Do you feel thirst or do you, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think this is what they were testing in these experiments.
This is like Metallica 1.
This loss of sensory deprivation or this sensory deprivation period is followed by 16 hour per day for several days of psychic driving. So that looping sound in your ears. So when you're completed these experiments, what they found was like, yeah, we've completely fucked these people up for the rest of their lives.
Literally,
like these people regressed essentially to infantile stages.
Oh, wow.
They had to be re-potty trained. People didn't know how to pee. They had no memories left, nor could they form long. They were essentially like, we have wiped the brain clean.
Crazy. Is this something I can pay for?
I mean,
everyone wants a fresh start, right?
I mean, we could try. That means we could just go horrifically wrong. We got a bunch of followers on TikTok, Shane is a child again.
I'm just going to put Lenny Bruce albums on repeat while I'm in the gimp mask, and we'll see what happens. It's holiday season, and you don't know what to get as a gift or a stocking stuffer? Come on. Well, today's sponsor, Manscaped, has the tools to guarantee you win this year's stocking stuffer or white elephant competition. Manscaped is a leader in men's below-the-waist grooming, and they have served more than 4 million men worldwide, me included, that's right. If my math is correct, that's almost 8 million balls. Get 20% off, plus free shipping at manscaped.com with code CBM20. Ho, 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 fellas. Naughty or nice, 'tis the season to perform. Manscaped's best-selling product is the Performance Package 4.0, which is at the top of every man's wish list this year. Inside, you'll find their lawnmower body trimmer, the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body, and the Weed Whacker ear, nose, hair trimmer. It's pretty good. Let's not forget their famous liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner, to maximize your ball hygiene routine. Give the Performance Package now to receive their two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. The dads can't stop talking about this. The teens secretly buy this, and the women will love you for it. Now, these are our picks for Manscaped Surefire Win Stocking Stuffers. Number one, Manscaped 2-in-1 Shampoo Plus Conditioner just launched. I used it. It's great. I'm bald, but my hair grows just a little bit day by day, and you know what? I'm one of those guys that still uses shampoo, and you can too. So do it. Number two, the Manscaped Cologne Infused Body Wash. Number three, Shears 2.0 Luxury 4-Piece Nail Kit. Because you want to scratch your lady's back when she's feeling your balls. And it's better if they're not crazy. Number four, Crop Mops Ball Wipes for your stanky balls, you sick men. Number five, Manscaped Signature Cologne. And this is great. You heard me say it earlier, but my wife's kind of vegan, and she'll be happy that these formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, paraben-free, so you know these are legit products. Make sure you hurry to their site and ensure these wild gifts show up this holiday season. And while you're at it, get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with code CBM20. Whether this is your partner, dad, brother, or friend, get them something that they will actually use, and I'm sure it's going to get a laugh. All right. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with code CBM20. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped.
They were really, I mean, these experiments have become
really criticized since because they violated so much of peace treaties. That
first
we
of all, HIPAA, they told us about it.
They didn't tell us who got them.
Oh, okay.
But they did tell us. So that was a major breakthrough in the history of mind and brain control because despite the horrific nature of these experiments, they gave scientists a lot of information into how the brain operates.
Yeah, and those are the things that scientists do. They do what they can under the radar until they get caught. It's like the island of Dr. Moreau was having a great time until someone was like, this is a bad, you're doing what over here?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately.
But you get data, yeah.
And this will, this is factored into a number of things we've talked about. I mean, one of the things that every American should wrestle through is that many of what we consider our greatest technological breakthroughs in this country came from Operation Paperclip, which is where we essentially offered Nazi scientists and researchers a pass where we would not prosecute them for war crimes. Mm-hmm. We would give them, if they came and became American citizens and then gave us basically the benefit of their research.
Right. Yeah, they created our space program. We have never have gone or faked to gone to the moon if it were not for
many of what we consider quintessential American ideas and technology were derived from Nazi research and scientists that we paid to come to America.
Right, and Russia did the same thing. Right. So, I mean, they got half of Nazi scientists.
Right, it was a talent coup. Like, in the wake of... Right, they're like, look, I know the Nazis were bad, but that guy's the best engineer in the world.
Ours was called Paperclip. Theirs was called Paperclip.
Yeah, Paperclip.
Is that a bad Russian accent? I think it was.
I thought it was it sounded German.
It did. I'm real bad with accents.
Well,
gotta hear it first.
The next chapter in this this sort of walk down memory lane or a memory that have been erased lane is the somewhat murky history of scopolamine.
Scopolamine,
yes. Otherwise known as the devil's breath.
Yeah.
Which has been called by many people the most dangerous drug in the world.
It is.
It is a...
I mean, next to... what are they putting in heroin now?
Alcohol.
Alcohol, yeah, but whatever. What's the stuff they're putting in all the drugs that's killing people?
The synthetic thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't do drugs.
I don't either. Not the fake ones.
I'm going to get another beer. I don't do drugs.
I know, right? None of my drugs have synthetics.
Well, so scopolamine, the devil's breath, it pops up in pop culture. And most people have heard about it.
Yeah, Vice did a great special on it. So go to YouTube, just search scopolamine on Vice.
What it does is when administered, it renders the human in a zombie-like state, but also incredibly incredibly susceptible to highly suggestible. What is
suggestible? Susceptible and suggestible, I would assume.
Is that
so? It's like when you're drunk, someone's like, "Hey, jump off this roof." You're like, "Sure," but
it turns you into a
like sculpting. They're like, "Hey, I want you to strip down and go give me all the money out of your bank account," and they will do it.
They will do it.
It's like hypnotism, but if you have
drug
no choice,
right? Yeah. And I have a friend who he was the production manager of lingerie shoots for a major lingerie company in America.
Okay.
Probably not hard to figure out who I'm talking about.
Right.
I mean, what company, but I'm not going to say it.
VS.
No. Fredericks of Hollywood.
Oh, Fredericks of Hollywood. Yeah,
they were super classy. They were like, that was old school lingerie. It was real trashy looking.
Hilarious.
But great catalogs in the 80s before porn.
My friend, his dad got a copy of that, and I'd be like, all right, I'll go to my friend's house more often.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, you guys who were young, who have always had phones to search for adult prurient pictures, do not appreciate how much a Fredericks of Hollywood catalog was a godsend in the 1988.
For sure, because all we had was a Sears catalog, and then that thing came along, and you're like, fuck yeah.
I devoured the Sears catalog.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, back to
that's why Sears went under because they stopped having porn for young kids.
There's a famous picture. I think it's I don't know what year it was, but it's of the men's section.
Oh, okay.
And there's a guy in boxers whose member genitals are so long and they're hanging out the tip of it
in a Sears catalog.
In a Sears catalog,
good for him.
And that they were quickly bought up and are now incredibly lucrative.
Really?
That's a precursor to NFT.
Yeah, right? There's a website that has all the old Sears catalogs on it. Mm. And you can go down memory lane. If you're an old man like us and you want to relive your youth, go to the Sears catalog. You're like,
we were beaten off to Sears catalogs and National Geographic.
Yeah, that's all we had.
It was real was complicated sexuality.
Sticky libraries.
Our generation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to scopolamine. There is some legitimate uses for it. It's been used to treat Alzheimer's, motion sickness for NASA astronauts.
Oh.
But the thing that people have said is that the CIA has been experimenting with using scopolamine just like, guess who the Nazis did, who first discovered they could administer it to prisoners of war and they could render them into truth-telling machines.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm going to put this out there and we'll talk briefly about it, but I promise you, we will cover this in a future episode because I did not know about this, which is rare for me in conspiracy world. James Holmes was the Batman movie shooter in Aurora, Colorado. Remember?
Oh, yes, yes. Made me scared to go see Batman movies for at least the rest of the trilogy. Yeah.
Right. Apparently, that shooting has a lot more than meets the eye because prior to that shooting, he was apparently an elite neuroscientist.
What?
And there is a very vibrant conspiracy out there that he was given scopolamine by the CIA and was encouraged to, he was essentially behaviorally modified to go and commit that crime.
I do remember hearing something about this.
For very specific reasons, which again, I don't want to get into now.
Yeah, we'll cover it for sure.
Because it's a great conspiracy because it touches on so many things. And so I'm kind of fascinated by that. But that's this idea of brainwashing, scopolamine plays an important role sort of in the history of all of this because it's this idea that can we create a drug that essentially renders people into controllable assets?
Yeah.
Now,
absolutely.
On that same note, we have talked before about the Defense Research Project Agency, Defense Advanced Research Project, or better known as DARPA.
Yeah.
And DARPA has been engaged in a number of programs to develop methodologies for controlling or at least sort of interfacing with the human brain.
Yeah, and they have more recently been known to brainwash robots into dancing.
Well, they are the people that people don't know, but they are the ones that funded those Boston Dynamics.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's their project.
Yeah.
And they wanted robots that essentially can be used for soldiers. And the projects that they have built in terms of the brain involve things like an interface that allows the human brain to communicate with technology machines without touching them.
Right. Which, right? I mean, I've used this before. Have you seen these? You can buy these off the shelf. They are little headsets that go on your head, and they use your brain waves to control computers.
No, what?
Yeah. So when Alamo Drafthouse opened down the street, they had a VR day or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they have, and you can buy, I almost bought one for my friend that has ALS because he has to use this like eye gaze machine to like, you know, use his eyes, but the lighting is bad. Sometimes it's hard to like calibrate it. But with these headsets, you can basically just manipulate software with your thoughts and you can buy this.
How?
Because you can like train yourself. The game I played with this is like, you're just running down a path and you have to learn. You like, it's basically like figuring out how to ride a bike. You learn
and
how
it's
to.
It's not reading your eyes where
no,
they're
it's
going.
Reading your brain. And this is a legit technology that's been around for 20 longer, obviously 20 or more years. But it's now publicly available, but you can buy a headset that's like $300 and you can use it to control. You just have to train yourself to use it. So when I used it, the whole process was like, hey, you're going to run down this path, then you're going to fly, and then you got to fly through these hoops and you have to like dive down and dive up.
Are you actually flying?
Yeah, in my head.
In your head.
In my head, I was like telling the avatar on
but
the
not screen, physically flying.
Yeah, no. But I was telling my I was definitely no drugs were involved. I was telling the avatar myself how to go through these hoops just by focusing, and you know, it's very much the Force. I think Star Wars came out with a Force game that was this. They came out with it like a couple years ago. So it's very doable, and it's off the shelf technology.
This is how to rule the metaverse.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. It's awesome.
I'm serious. Like you know, like if you guys don't know that the Facebook's name change to the metaverse is kind of stupid, but the vision of the metaverse is even
Yeah, it's Ready Player One.
It's Ready Player One. We all walk around. So if you have the Force in the metaverse,
yeah,
where someone's like, "Hey, you want to play?" and you're just like,
"Yeah," like, which I mean, basically we do. I mean, with my Oculus, they have hand tracking, so you're just like, I mean, obviously you could use your brainwaves too, but next thing is going to have your brain connected to the Oculus, and you don't need your hands at all, and we all become fat schlubs that are just brains in jars.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, the DARPA, aside from this interface with that, they've hacked into the human memory where they can now effectively remove and implant memories to the memory interface.
Okay.
Also, they've created this way where they can upload information into the brain, sort of like Matrix, Neo sort of stuff.
Sure.
Total Recall
and Matrix combined.
Combined, where you're just like, I just got back from Iraq. I'm traumatized. Oh, we'll take care of that.
Yeah. How was your vacation to Hawaii?
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I had a great time.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we need you to fly this plane. Like, I don't know. I can fly this plane now.
Sounds great.
And that's DARPA's literally, this is not science fiction. This is absolutely like a government agency program that's actually doing this stuff. Has done it and then just figuring out how we get it into the field at this point.
I think this is great.
I
think this is awesome. I mean, if you can take trauma away from people, I had an idea years ago. I was like, I'm going to write a short story about these characters that all they do is take everyone's pain, right? So if you could take pain away from everybody and just make one person feel all the pain, make them like the avatar for your pain.
The scapegoat,
right? So you'd be free to never hurt again.
That's what we do with certain races.
Yeah. Yeah, we
certain
do.
Groups, we inflict our cultural zeitgeist or whatever you want to call it.
Sure. Okay, now I don't feel good about this story anymore that I'm working on.
No, I think it's a... now I realize I've made it. No, I think it's a good
story.
To be
fair, the people taking the pain were all white. They deserved it.
That would be the story.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Yeah. There's been a sort of groundbreaking information. Oh, let me just, before we move here. So just to close out DARPA, we started with these dancing robots.
Yeah.
Take the dancing robots, which are very creepy to me.
Yes.
And everything we just said, and combine them into a hybrid human with robotic parts.
Right.
Robocop. And say, your brain can interface with your arm gun cannon.
Right.
Right, and we can implant into your brain memories, and we can implant in your brain information.
Right,
and your legs don't get tired because your legs are metallic, and you don't
pneumatic.
Right, but we still have you. There is no computer on Earth that is anywhere close to what the human brain can do in terms of reaction time, computations. If you can program the human brain, you have a thing that is absolutely. Mm-hmm. Amazing in terms of where we are with computational power.
Right.
It needs we can live off less electricity than your average like desktop computer.
Right. And you can get it from like Hostess Twinkies.
Yeah. Right. So it's like, so what if you're saying I need a system to, the problem with the robot as a soldier is the battery system.
Yeah.
And the computing system, because those are energy dependent systems. Mm-hmm. Well, the human brain and heart are like, they're phenomenally efficient.
Super efficient.
So we're just going to combine all that, but we want to control the neural interface. So we want to be able to take memories out. We want it to be able to seamlessly control, you know, Bluetooth capabilities with all your digits and fingers and everything around you. And we want you to be able to upload information on how to program you. And that's exactly what the end game here is.
Crazy.
And now, out of South Korea, a lab... run by Americans, but using South Korean researchers. We have a major breakthrough in the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. I think it came out just the beginning of December.
Yeah.
That is revolutionary in this history of brain and mind control. Mm-hmm. Or brainwashing and mind control, rather. I said I would talk about this, but we have these, you know, these neurotransmitters. And the one thing I didn't mention, these neurotransmitters that emit from neurons that control the electrical and chemical impulses that essentially control the brain, there are these things called vesicles.
Yeah.
These kind of bulge-like features.
Yeah, I got a seminal one.
Do you really?
No, everybody's got a seminal vesicle. It's in your testicles.
You're talking about
Sorry, it's a different thing.
It's a V.
Oh.
Not a T. It's a...
Yeah, seminal vesicle.
seminal.
It's a whole thing. You can look it up online. Go down the rabbit hole.
Okay. All right. But I'm saying a V, which is one of those words you have to, like, what do you use when you're talking to customer service and you say the letter V as like a V for Victor?
Oh, yeah.
Vesticles.
Vesticles, yeah. Yeah, Victor. It's like the woman in front of me when I was getting my vaccine the other day, she goes, she said her last name and it started with a P, and she's like, you know, Perkins, as her last name is Perkins. She goes, you know, Perkins as in pancakes. And I was like, lady, there isn't a Perkins here. Nobody understands that's a restaurant around here. You got to come up with a new thing.
Yeah.
Come up with like Perkins as in Anthony, the killer in that horror movie. Come on.
Yeah, I like using obscure words when I spell my name with, like, you know, S, like sassy.
Oh, yeah. Scranton, like that city in, and then you don't name the one in...
In North Carolina
Ohio.
Yeah. All right. So the device that these South Koreans invented, which relies upon these vesticles to isolate certain areas of the brain, is called the OptoVTrap.
Okay.
And it's essentially a light-inducible and reversible inhibition system that can temporarily trap vesicles from being released from brain cells.
Okay.
And the way I understand this, which I'm not a smart man, is that these vesicles essentially hold pockets or pods of neurons and neurotransmitters. Mm. And if you can sort of very discreetly isolate some of these from preventing the release of neurotransmitters or excite them where they release a lot of them, that you can essentially control human emotions and human behaviors.
Interesting.
That's the theory, and they tested that on laboratory mice, and it was extremely successful.
Oh.
And what I mean by extremely successful is they were able to essentially take a single wavelength of blue light and focus it on different parts of the laboratory rat brain, which is mapped as our human brain is. And they were like, okay, well, there's the fear center of the brain.
Oh.
We have these rats that we've trained to be afraid of random stuff.
Right.
Shoot them and get rid of that.
Inhibit that
fear, and then give them the fear-inducing stimuli that usually sends them into a panic, and they don't even care at all.
Really?
They'll run through fire. They'll do anything. You can literally remove fear from the mice or the rats, and they'll do whatever you want.
Interesting. So I had sent you this article, and I just realized now a correlation to an article that came out months ago that I think is tied to the same thing. They realized that shooting a specific colored light at you, kind of the way seasonal affective disorder is, they shoot you with a certain color light. They realize they can get rid of depression by shooting, I think it was either a blue or a red light into your eyes.
Right. This is so what's going on in South Korea, it's tough in this regard because what they're experimenting on in laboratory rats is scary when you think about it in the nefarious ways, which is going to obviously be used.
Right.
You don't invent a blue light that can make people fearless and not try to use it on the military. That's just
right. Yeah.
If you don't think that, you're an idiot.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But there are also, like, the scientists are probably like, yeah, we don't think about that stuff. We think about
the good stuff
that we can do with it, like fight Alzheimer's, fight depression, fight anxiety. If essentially what depression comes to is there's an area of your brain that does not fire off and start activating when certain good things happen to you. Yep. Well, we can do that, and then your brain will start, oh, I'm supposed to be happy now. I'll release these neurons, serotonin, and you'll be a happy guy again.
I wonder if it's the color. I wonder if there's something with color because blue, the color blue is tied to Viagra, and that, when you take that, it gets rid of your fear of getting a boner. So you just get a boner.
So wait, you think people don't get boners because they're afraid?
I don't know. It's probably so. I'm trying to make
I have no idea. Oh, I'm sorry. There's other reasons why I'm so bad at yes and. Like, I don't play improv games.
No, it's fine.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to play improv games, do I?
That pill is just colored because it's just that the color.
It's a blue pill.
Yeah, that's, you know, just.
Right. I just never expected people to be afraid of a boner.
No, no. I mean, I'm sure there's. I mean, I've been afraid of boners.
I mean, I'm afraid of a.
When you were a kid, this is, again, we're off the rails, but when I was a kid, first boners hurt like hell.
Well, some people, I had a friend whose doctor gave him a chop job that didn't.
I've heard of this, and it made it too tight, and then
made
it just
too
like,
tight. So his boners were
maybe that's what happened to me.
Well, I mean, get in there and get some work done.
Yeah,
man.
Get I gotta get one of those carrot jobs they keep advertising on TV.
A little stretchy job. Get it stretched out. The scientists in Korea, they have figured out they can turn on or off neurotransmitters such that they can manipulate emotional and behavior reactions at a chemical level at an extremely precise state.
Oh.
Right? Okay. So remember, like, think back to the Montreal experiments. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, we can manipulate the brain. You're like, oh, yeah, you can fucking fry the brain and
right.
turn people into just children, and children are highly susceptible to whatever you tell them to do. They also wet their pants all the time and cry, which that's all you learned how to do, Mantra. But we've come from the 1950s when the idea of brainwashing and experiments came in as the new frontier for human war.
Yeah.
Right? The war for men's minds. We've come from the 1950s through Devil's Breath and through the DARPA test into now where we are, where a laboratory in Korea has announced in the last few weeks that they believe what they have learned from these laboratory tests with rats is applicable to humans, that we can shine certain frequencies of blue light and in a very discreet way we can stimulate or inhibit parts of the brain that we want to control.
I love this. It's amazing.
It is amazing. It's
very
terrifying.
Dangerous. Yes,
it's incredibly terrifying because, you know, when we think about the theory that the guy that went into a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, was somehow under the suggestive powers of CIA operatives because I don't want to spoiler alert, but there were some things in his family's that do give a motive as to why.
Oh wow!
Plus, he was found asleep in his car afterwards and had no memory of anything that he'd
done.
Oh,
right, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of things about it that I had never really looked into
that
are very, very weird.
Right.
But imagine this idea that you're like people with no history of violence, all of a sudden they're like, I don't know, I just, somebody said that and I just started killing people.
Crazy.
And then people are like, well, we saw this blue light prior to that, could he have been compromised by it's terrifying technology,
right?
I mean, technology is terrifying if you believe that it can come into the hands of people that will use it for terrifying ends,
right?
Which is almost always the case in my mind,
right? And it's always every technology is used this way, but again, it's also used and I don't know if this is a correct correlation. In North Carolina, they're trying to ban certain books from the library.
Are they really?
Yeah, there's a book. There's a book that tells the story of a gay kid or something that they feel like the imagery in it is
a gay what?
A kid, a gay kid or so.
I thought you said a gay gator.
Yeah, a gay gator, man. LaCosta.
LaCosta.
It's like, what's that gator on your shirt?
LaCosta loved Azad.
That's
gator.
Right, man. I'll tell you what. And it's like that's like saying. We gotta get rid of books because books are technology that could change people to do bad things.
Sure. Which is probably what if these scientists are not themselves compromised, that's probably their point. Could it be used to do awful things?
Right.
Yes.
Right. But again,
I don't want to use it for awful things, but
right. But again, that's also my point is buying into the fear. Like obviously I think books should be in the library that offend people. You know, there should be technology out there that is problematic for certain groups.
We cannot, should not, try to create a world where no one is offended.
Right.
Because that world is really genuinely not worth living in.
And I know there's a difference between offended and brainwashed slash soldiers being used for
Right, but the analogy is apropos, I think, in this case.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, do we, by us being like, you know, we should just get rid of this technology because it could be used for bad. It's like, should we get rid of this book because, oh, is it going to make somebody gay? Obviously, it's not, but people on in that side of thinking think these things. And I'm like, I don't want to be that person
sure.
about technology. What is it? What do you call people that don't like technology?
Luddites.
Yeah, Luddites.
Right.
Is that, I mean, are there cultural Luddites or philosophical or technological? I mean,
I don't know. I think the part that is most terrifying, and it runs throughout this entire episode to me, is in the analogy I would use is that, you know, when computers first started to exhibit intelligence, which, by the way, has been happening for much longer.
Speak and Spell was the first.
Yeah. Or maybe
what did you say to me, motherfucker?
No, I thought it was like the thing that used to give you animal sounds, you know, like,
oh yeah,
the
yeah.
cow says,
yeah, that was Rawr. That's true, yeah, that one too, yeah,
right. I was a second child, so all my toys were hand-me-downs.
Oh, and it was always like
a little off,
slow and off.
So I thought cow said like, Rawr,
yeah, yeah, and it was always like, slow and weird. It's like, yeah, the sheep says,
yeah,
it's like, can I get new toys?
Yeah,
please.
It was a traumatic child. I could understand the people on the phone and Charlie Brown as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
They talked like my slow speak and say, whatever that thing was called. But computers have been becoming intelligent for a long time. And along that battle, people were like, well, you know, computers will never understand chess because it represents the height of the complexity of the human mind.
And that did.
And nowadays we're like, yeah, that a computer can beat the greatest human, mm-hmm. like they're a child.
Yeah.
And they can do it without ever really being programmed to study chess. They just can give them the rules of chess.
And they actually could honestly, here, what's even scarier, it's the same way that Target's app predict when women are going to be pregnant based on what they're buying. If you were a computer that's good at chess, you could just look at the search history of the person you're playing and be like, I know every move he's going to make based on who he is, his social economic ability, not really, but class and everything.
And what is the terrifying thing to me is not just that the human brain is hackable, for lack of a better word, but that it's not as complex as we think.
Right. We're not special little children.
Right. If, you know, we think about really, really hyper intelligent people, we think, well, they're just this gift from God that, like, mm-hmm. and they're like, no, they just have a little more actual brainwave activity in this part of their brain. And I can take this, you know, of mice and men, and I can just blue light. And now, guess what? He's just as intelligent as the most intelligent person in the world.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that is terrifying to me, not in that in the applications that it can be used, mm-hmm. but in the revelation that we humans are essentially machines that can be programmed.
We're just dumb idiots. And this is something we've talked about before, and it's, I think as we progress as a society, we're clearly realizing. I mean, we talked about this a bunch. Like, video games are close in terms of graphical fidelity as real life. They could produce new MetaHuman that Unreal Engine makes. Yeah. Those people look pretty, other than just a little bit of the eyes and the teeth, it's pretty damn close.
How many months or years are we away from where you do not know if what you're watching on TV, and I mean TV,
right.
I don't mean
right.
Netflix, Hulu, or certainly not a video game or a movie, but I mean, like, I'm watching live TV. I don't know if that's a real newscaster or a sentient.
Well, there's two ways. So obviously there's full graphical fidelity if it was completely programmed, but I don't think that's the way we're going. I think the way it's going, and they're working on software to detect this, and there have been multiple stories about this, is that deep fakes are at a point to where they are almost indistinguishable from real. Right, so you could have a newscast, but you're like, you know what? I want Walter Cronkite as a young man, as this person, and you would not know.
Wouldn't be able to tell.
There's a company that their sole purpose as a company is detecting deep fakes, so that we can not have this. So I mean, I've watched.
Most people wouldn't care.
They wouldn't care.
I miss Casey Kasem.
Yeah,
I just
put Casey Kasem. Hey,
I
want to
watch
yeah.
the New Year's Eve with Casey
yeah,
Kasem.
Yeah, fuck Ryan Seacrest.
He sucks anyway.
He does suck. He was on Eliminate. Do you remember that show, Eliminate?
Yes.
Ryan Seacrest was on Eliminate before he was famous, and he got rejected. And now leading our goddamn nightly countdown. Come on, get out of here, Ryan Seacrest.
I can't believe he was on Eliminate.
Yeah.
That was like Blind Date. Remember that show? That was a good show.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, well, but yeah, it's so not maybe 5 to 10 years, and there's literally no distinguishing real from fake.
I could be wrong about this, and I know we're up against time, so I'll make this my final thought. Is that all of this leads me to conclude something that I have said before as a final thought, so I'll say it again. A lot of what we talk about are crazy conspiracies. Mm-hmm. We clearly make fun of ones that are obviously not true or at least have major gaps and holes in them. I believe in a few of these, and one of them is that we are hastening very, very, very quickly to a world which we will not understand and cannot get back from.
Right. I think we're there already.
So once we create technology that is smart enough to control us, where our lives are too integrated with machines, and those machines start to develop a level of intelligence which right now, today, would scare most people, terrify most people, then the precipice, the rate of change is going to happen so fast that it is going to radically redesign what we think about as life.
Totally.
Now, I'm at the second half of my life.
Right. Me too.
So I'm like, whatever. Like we missed the signals 20 years ago when people were screaming.
Right. I started
this.
Throwing plastic away the other day. I was like, whatever.
Right. Yeah. I don't cut the six pack ring because I'm like, well, I'm gonna put a couple sea turtles out of their misery. Yeah.
We can hang out in the afterlife together.
I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm gonna die, so are the sea turtles.
Yeah.
You know?
I
think that we are it's not something that's like a slow, the thing about machines, Boston Robotics, intelligent machines integrated with the human brain that they can control, is that they do not take breaks.
Right.
They don't stop working. We're talking about a force that.
Yeah.
And
I'm worried when they have a podcast. I got to piss so bad right now. And I'm going to have to stop this podcast. But they could just do a podcast that's like 12 hours long and they'd never have to pee.
That'd be a fun fake podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
To be the first sentient robot.
Never-ending podcast?
The never-ending podcast.
That's fun. I like that idea.
Yeah. And just program some of those bots to just kind of constantly be podcasting and just word jumble of just...
Yeah, I love it. So that's your final thought?
That's my final thought.
My final thought. I think the fact that we're even talking about this means we're already behind the curve. The reason why we're aware of this is because we as a people have just evolved to the point where the people before us have gotten already. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times when we talk about aliens or we talk about future tech, we say, eventually there's going to be a time when technology and graphics are indistinguishable from current reality. We're in that reality now to our past selves because they're the evolved people. We're the middle people. It's kind of the way we think of Amish as those Luddites, right? They don't want technology. But at some point, cavemen were like, fucking, those people are building barns. Can you believe those guys are building barns? Oh, what the hell? And then those cavemen found out about barns, but they were already building barns by the time they found out about them. So the fact is we're finding out about this, and this has been going on for so many years. We're just now talking about it on this podcast, which means that they are so far advanced. And Boston Dynamics, it's just trickle down technology. So I think that none of us are on the precipice of the future. We're all just past people just dealing with our current reality. And this stuff is so far beyond us and moved so far beyond us and so quickly beyond us that we are just trying to catch up. And by the time we do, there's going to be the people that are just a little bit behind us having a podcast about what we had done.
And for as long as history remembers us, they will remember us as essentially cavemen.
Exactly.
People that still built fires
yeah.
and still relied upon
yeah.
killing animals to eat and these mm-hmm. sorts of primitive behaviors which we still haven't outgrown.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to go swim into the ocean.
I know, right? Done yeah.
This is bullshit.
I'm going to go take a blue chew and just fucking...
Just bone out?
Bone out. I'm not scared anymore.
I'm not scared of this boner. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's our show, man.
Yeah. That was fun.
Super fun. Glad you guys are here. And join our Patreon. Listen to us. And stay tuned for more information on upcoming live shows and whatnot. So appreciate it. Still Conspiracy Beer Me. Still Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
Peace.
Peace.